Well, I am deeply honored to come and hang out with you. I am originally from Buffalo, New York. Go Bills! This could be the year. But I left Buffalo about 27 years ago. Mom and Dad dropped me off at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. And at the end of my freshman year, they called and said, "We don't have the money to send you back to school, nor do we have money to bring you back home to Buffalo, but we do love you." How many realize a brother didn't feel the love? So I dropped out of school, moved into a drug-infested community, though I was not on drugs, is all I could afford at the time. Only had a mattress on the floor, a bright green beanbag from the 70s, a couple of milk crates turned over with a black and white TV on top of it, with a hanger hanging out of the back of the TV with a piece of aluminum foil wrapped around the hanger. How many have a visual so far? All right, I wasn't poor, I was po. That's two levels below, all right? I mean, brother was so broke, I walked past the bank and tripped the alarm, you know? Had a great time. Finally figured out that I needed to do something with my life. So at 19 years of age, I'm working at a hotel making a whopping $5.10 an hour where they left the light on for me. And it was probably one of the lowest points of my life on public transportation, wearing $20 hand-me-down clothes, and it was just really a sad state of affairs. But I realized, even during that time, that God had put brilliance in me. A setback is a setup for a comeback. And when I understand that no matter what you go through in life, no matter where you are, God will never leave you. Because God believes in you, and he's waiting for you to believe that he believes in you. Amen. And the moment that clicks in, there is literally, you find the internal control alt delete button, and you begin to delete those files that slow down your operating system. Because over time, you begin to realize that sometimes people can download things to your hard drive that do not allow you to step into your brilliance. And when you understand that you are absolutely, positively brilliant, say, "I am brilliant."
I am brilliant.
But I need you to say it with a little attitude, a little swag. I need you to say, "I am brilliant."
I am brilliant.
Now do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm brilliant, but I am a little concerned about you." Okay. Brilliant, but which one of y'all kicked me? Okay, now, so I did go back to school, got my undergrad, my master's degree, and about 21 years ago, I was living in Atlanta, but was in Orlando for business, and some friends invited me to a single soiree, and I walked in the room, a young lady saw me from across the room and just had to have me, so I decided to marry her and put her out of her misery. Now, if you ever meet Renee, don't tell her that I'm sharing this. This is just between us, my new BFFs. But Renee is my baby, my boo, the best thing that has ever happened to me. The man that you see standing before you is because of the woman who has stood beside me, sometimes in front of me. Whoever said behind every man was probably, behind every man is a woman, is probably a man who didn't have a clue. It's beside every man is a woman rolling her eyes saying, "That joker wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for me." But that's another seminar. Okay. But Renee and I will be married for 21 years this October. I often ask her, I said, "Why did you marry me?" She said, I married you for your potential, because when I first saw you, you was a broke joker, you know? But I saw something in your eye. That boy got skills. But we are happily married. We have two children. Daniel's our 14-year-old son, Madison, our 11-year-old daughter, and I'm deeply honored to have them in my life. Listen, no matter how hard you work, build your life around who will be crying at your funeral. Because so many times we work, but you need to realize you can work your fingers into the bone. Corporate America will not love you back. Let me just be straight up with you, all right? They will not love you back. They will, listen, you will die, kick the bucket, expire, go home to see Jesus. They will post your job on the internal intranet, and life will go on. So do what's most important, all right? Now, that was my introduction. We were just getting to know each other. For the next few moments that we have together, I want to download something into your hard drive that if you get this, it will absolutely change your life. What I'm about to share with you is what has enabled me to leave the ghetto of Buffalo, New York, leave the ghetto of Atlanta, Georgia, to working for the Walt Disney Company for a number of years, to leave Disney 10 years ago to go out on my own. And what did it took me an entire year? What I'm about to say, I'm not saying this to impress you, but I say it as a matter of fact so you don't think I'm standing here blowing smoke up your leg. What it took me an entire year to make at Disney when I left Disney and I paid attention to what God had put in my spirit, what took an entire year to make, I now make in one day. It's all because I begin to pay attention to what I'm getting ready to teach you, and it's called the intuition for wealth. Everybody say the intuition for wealth. Now, I am going to walk through some things, and then I'm going to unpack this and get you out of here expeditiously. But let me just set the stage a little bit so you have a context as to where I'm coming from. What you are going to be in the future, you are now becoming right now. Wealth is not something you chase after, but it's rather something that you pull towards you. Wealth is something that you sense and begin to make the right steps to be the right person in the right place at the right time. Wealth means different things to different people. Some people are wealthy in relationships. Some people are wealthy in their mind. Some people are wealthy with money. Some people are wealthy with character. Some people are wealthy with ideas. Some people are wealthy with talent. Some people are wealthy in gifting. In the entertainment field, there are those that they call a triple threat, someone who can sing, dance, and act. They are wealthy in that regard. For purposes of this presentation, for the next few moments, I want to take the approach of talking about wealth for generating money and productivity. How many of y'all like money? Say this with me. You need some money, honey. All right. Now, in God's kingdom is pregnant with ideas, witty inventions, breakthroughs, fresh insights, and innovations. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we now move from the basement of life and we relocate to the penthouse for the word repentance, penthouse, come back to where you belong. So when I understand that all witty ideas and inventions that exist on the earth really came out of God, that I made in God's image after God's own likeness, that means that in God's economy is not broke. There is no recession in God's economy. There is no layoffs in God's economy because God, when he thinks of you, he thinks of better and best. So when God understands that he can trust a man or woman in the earth, he will impregnate them with ideas. Those ideas will begin to talk to them and wake them up at the wee hours of the morning as they begin to write down what they see in their spirit, that thing that they see and they sense, it will not leave them alone. The more they begin to pay attention to that, all of a sudden there is a wooing of the Holy Spirit. Well, they will have an inkling or a hunch to call someone, and they don't know why they're calling that person. But they will call that person. That person will say, I was just thinking about you. Trust me, it was not because of the pepperoni pizza from the night before. It's because it's because you pay attention to what is in your gut. Say, it's in my gut. Now, let me just read a very quick story to you. Recently, Forbes magazine showcased its annual list of billionaires. According to Steve Forbes, editor-in-chief of Fortune magazine, there are 200 more billionaires than the previous year. So on this year's list, there's 200 more. And he then goes on to say that the overwhelming majority of billionaires have moved ahead through meeting the needs and wants of other people. So if I'm going to tap into the wealth of God, how do I meet the need and of other people? So it's not about me, it's about other people. Yes? One of the interesting stories in Forbes magazine is a story of a man named Pham Nhat Vuong. He is 44 years of age, and he is Vietnam's first billionaire. Now, here's his story. In the early 1990s, after marrying his college sweetheart, they moved to the Ukraine. Y'all got the picture? Vietnamese in Vietnam moves to the Ukraine, all right? Now, and Ukraine was a nation that was struggling in its capitalistic development. He began to scrape together $10,000 from family and friends, and he opened a Vietnamese restaurant in the Ukraine. Sensing a demand, he also began making and drying ramen noodles using a production line that was imported from Vietnam. This concept of instant noodles was completely new to the Ukrainians and became an instant hit. So he sensed another opportunity and decided to take a risk. So instead of running a small noodle shop, he bet everything by borrowing money at a very high interest rate of 8%. He expanded his production to dehydrated mixes that the Vietnamese chefs traditionally use to season noodle soup. He engaged the market by producing 500,000 small packages and giving them all away in the Ukraine. Isn't that interesting? Now, the idea so caught on that he became the Ukraine's processed food king 17 years later. And he sold his company to Nestle for $150 million 3 years ago. Now, what he was doing when he was making money from the noodles, he was also sending money back to Vietnam and was buying commercial real estate, because he sensed that Vietnam would not always be the way that it is. Well, today, because of that investment, he owns almost $500 million of commercial real estate in Vietnam. And when they do the math, they said his worth is over $1 billion. Now, when you unpack this whole story, what's interesting is he had a sense and he began to follow what he felt. Now, one more story. Can you tolerate one more story? One more story. Most recently, and when I say most recently, as of about a month ago, there was an article that appeared in Huffington Post that 12 students of the University of the Stanford University Computer Science Department decided to put their degrees on hold. And they put their degrees on hold because there's a new startup company that has not even opened for business called Klinkl. Klinkl is soon to be a mobile processing feature that will create the digital wallet. And when I did the deeper dive to find out why would these students put their degree on hold, it's because they have read everything else that has happened in Silicon Valley, and they sense that the next Google is about to happen, and instead of sitting in a classroom that tries to give them information, they want to get out and be a part of where things are going. I bring these stories as an example. Now I want to tie it into a scripture. Over in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 28, there is a story about Peter. And this story about Peter and the disciples is that Jesus comes to the disciples one night walking on water. And as he is walking on water, the disciples became very afraid. And Peter said to Jesus, "If it's you," he said, "Yes, it's me," and Jesus says, "Come." So all of a sudden, Peter gets out on the boat and begins to walk on water. Now, you're probably saying, "Simon, that's great, that's awesome, but what does that have to do with the intuition of wealth?" It has everything to do with the intuition of wealth, because literally what happened is Peter began to get out and walk on water, moving towards Jesus. But what's very interesting about this story is that so many people will talk about Peter walking on the water, but I just want to spend just a few minutes talking about the guys that didn't get out of the boat. Because so many times we can sense that God wants to take us into a new reality, but we stay in the boat. And what I've discovered, people that don't get out of the boat have boat mentality. Boat mentality says, "I've never done this before, I've never seen this before, so it's better to play it safe and be comfortable than to take a risk that I don't know how it's going to work out." And when it is time for you to move into another dimension of possibility in God, you will come to a place where you are uncomfortable being comfortable. And when you sense that there is more in you, what you begin to discover is that I've got to get up and do something right now. Because if I don't do it, the idea, the invention, the concept will be passed on and somebody will pick it up and run with it. What is that thing that God has put in you that only you can do? Here's the deal. Don't miss this. God would never give you an idea to do something if he did not already put the capacity in you to make it happen. But what God says is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion, right? But he starts you with a seed. The seed of an idea to see what you will do with it.
So when you think about this, why is this so important in our world right now? Our world is moving from a point-and-click world to a touch-and-swipe world. And as we move from a point-and-click to a touch-and-swipe world, sometimes we want broadband results, but we use dial-up methods. And if we are to release the brilliance of God, we must begin to say, God, what is it that you are trying to upgrade in my system that will allow me to operate at the maximum level? What is the maximum level of God? The maximum level of God is wherever you find yourself in the marketplace, you are supposed to be number one. You are supposed to be the best of the best. Because the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you walk into a business, that business is better because you showed up. That business is supposed to go up because of who you are, whose you are, and what you carry. That business literally is supposed to experience a quantum leap in results because of the authority and the brilliance that you possess in you. Now, what is brilliance? Brilliance is your insight. It is your potential. It is your genius. It is the God it factor in you. So when you say I'm brilliant, you're not just saying I'm brilliant. You're saying I'm kind of like brilliant. I really have it going on. You better recognize. Because if you don't recognize that you're brilliant, nobody's going to recognize it for you. When you don't know who you are, you give people permission to treat you any way they see fit. But when you understand who you are at the core of your being and you understand what is your gifting, what is your ability, you become unstoppable. In other words, if I understand what you do really well, I don't become jealous of you because I find my lane and I do what I really do well. And when you do what you do well, I celebrate you. And as I celebrate you, I attract what I give away. Amen. So if you do something really well, I say, that's a great job. That's awesome. That's phenomenal. Because as I recognize your brilliance, somebody's going to recognize my brilliance. But it starts with me. Now, let me give you a few practical things to really unpack this whole concept of the intuition of wealth. If you remember the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, it says, and Joseph dreamed a dream. Joseph was 17 years of age when he dreamed a dream, but it took him 13 years from the time he dreamed to the dream to come to reality. So the first practical takeaway is, what's your dream? Because God speaks in pictures and images. Dreams are a sneak preview of a coming attraction. Whenever Hollywood gets ready to release a movie, they will have a sneak preview. And the more you pay attention to the sneak preview, all of a sudden you get excited about going to see Iron Man 3 or whatever that might be. But it's that what stays in your mind is that it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Well, what God does in a dream is he gives you a sneak peek of what you are coming into. But sometimes people don't pay attention to their dreams and they just kind of blow them off, kind of like, whatever, next. And they totally miss it because dreams are to be taken figuratively, not literally. I'll give you an example. Years ago, I had a dream that I was in the car and Michael Jordan was behind the steering wheel and the car was flying over the Golden Gate Bridge. How many realize that kind of freaked a few people out, right? Like, what's up? What happened here? Seriously? Really? So as I began to pay attention to the imagery of the dream, I began to write it down. And the more I begin to study and understand dreams and pictures and images and inklings and hunches and how God works with our spirit, Proverbs says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So there's something in my spirit that's always pulling me in a specific direction towards my destiny. So the more and more I become comfortable with what I am seeing, that's time sometimes why you can be driving down the road and your mind goes into a daydream because the daydream is always trying to show you the future you in the day. My God. And the reason he has to show it to you in the day, so by the time you go into the night season, there's something in your spirit that my season is getting ready to change. Something is getting ready to happen for me because I'm seeing pictures and images that are inviting me to tell a vision. So when I understand this whole thing of dreaming, I realize the dream wasn't about Michael Jordan. I wasn't going to roll up and say, hey, Mike, I had this dream about you. No. the dream wasn't about Michael Jordan. The dream was about what Michael Jordan represented to me psychologically. So he represented to me in the dream a driven personality. And so when I understood that, I began to say there's a part of my psyche that's very driven to have what he has. But I realize if I want to have what he has, I've got to pay the price. So I was being invited to begin to think about that the best hand that will feed you in any economy is the one at the end of your wrist. So when I understand that, I become very mindful of if I am to pay attention to the intuition and the wealth of God, what's my dream? What do I see? Because if you never see it, you'll never get it. The person that works the hardest is paid the least. The person that knows how will always have a job, but the person that knows why will always be the boss. Because the person knows why he or she sees differently. So when I understand my dream, the second thing I have to do is pay attention. Just hunt your neighbor and say, pay attention. The reason we must pay attention is because sometimes things are right underneath our nose and we miss it. I'll share a quick story with you. A number of years ago, a CEO friend of mine, a friend of a friend, called and said, hey, I'm coming in town to see a CEO buddy of that lived in Orlando. And he said, pick me up at the airport. So I said, okay. And I was like, why did he ask me to pick him up at the airport? Because he knows a ton of people in town. They could have picked him up. So anyway, I pick him up. We go to meet our CEO friend. And he says, let's go to his house. So we go to his house, sit down, we're visiting. And then the CEO friend says, let's go over to my private club where it costs almost $250,000 a year for membership. So we go to this club. I am feeling totally out of place, out of my league. I'm like, how did they invite a brother up here? You know, I'm just a bill. Well, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here in Capitol Hill. You know, that was my mentality. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and they're having this discussion. And what I didn't realize, they were just talking about business in general, how life was going, blah, blah, blah. And I said to my friend on the way over, I said, are you on his board? He says, no, I'm an advisor to him. I said, okay, great. Oh, that's great. You know, whatever. So we sit there, dinner ends, and I drop my friend off, and I go on about my business. 3 years later, I find out that the CEO friend that I sat with dinner and my buddy, that his company sold, and he walked away with a payday of $40 million. The guy that I had picked up from the airport was a private equity investor in the guy's company. That's why he wasn't on the board, and his company walked away with hundreds of millions of dollars. And when I realized, they had invited me to the party to see if I would pick up and sense what was going on. But because I wasn't paying attention, I didn't see it. I totally missed it. It was above my pay level, but I was being invited into a reality, a possibility, but I didn't get it. And sometimes you are around things all the time that the Holy Spirit puts you dead smack in something and you don't see it because you have, oh, well, I've got this to do. I've got that to do. Listen, there's a difference between being busy and being effective. And if you're going to tap into the wealth of God, I want you to begin to slow down and say, how do I pay attention to what is really happening here? And how do I begin to ask questions? Now, don't miss this. Very important takeaway. If you want to tap into the intuition of wealth, God does not want you broke. God wants you prosperous. In God's economy, there is no lack. In God's economy, God thinks of you as better and best. And when we start to think like God and act like God, we start to have God-like results. But it starts with the quality of your questions determine the quality of your thinking. The quality of your questions determine the quality of your answers. The moment you ask a question, it immerses you on a quest to discover an answer that was waiting to emerge. So if I'm going to tap into the intuition of where is the wealth, how do I find my internal GPS, God's plan for success, I've got to begin to pay attention to the Geiger counter in my spirit, that when I sense something, I hear doot, 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 doot. That's it. Because I am sensitive because I paid attention. And I ask questions. When you ask questions, you're forced to listen. That's why we have to realize he gave us two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice more than what we talk and say. So if you're going to tap in the wealth, I want you to begin to think about what is around me. What do I see? What do I hear? What do I sense? Because some of you, have you ever met someone and you met them for the first time, but you knew them from someplace, but you couldn't remember their name? And you're sitting there and you're carrying on this major conversation, and you're like, what is their name? What is, but you're totally dialoguing, right? Like, what is their name? And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks will pass by, and then all of a sudden it hits you like a pile of bricks. You're like, oh my goodness. This is the person's name. This is how I know them. You know how that happened? The moment you ask your spirit, what was their name? The question searched the avenues of your wisdom to bring the answer back to you. Why is that important? When I understand my brilliance, I realize everything I need to succeed at any age is in me. Just take your right hand. Take your right hand, please. And just point to yourself and say, it's in me. In me. It's kind of like in me. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm kind of like a big deal. Just turn to, I'm kind of like a big deal. I'm kind of like a big deal. Yeah. I'm kind of like a big deal. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. When I know that I'm kind of like a big deal, I then recognize, I tap into my wealth because I sense something. I smell opportunity. I hear opportunity. I see opportunity. I taste opportunity. And then I'm invited to get out of the boat and walk towards Jesus. Because until I get out of the boat, I'll never meet him on the water. Because the boat is safe. The boat is comfortable. The boat is no risk. And the boat, the longer I stay in the boat, I develop boat mentality. And what God wants you to do at this season, if you are going to release your genius into the earth, he needs you to get out and walk on water and take a risk. And you say, Simon, how will I know that I need to take a risk? God will speak to you and give you a nudge, a push, that it's time. He won't speak in blah, 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 blah. Some of you have too much noise in your life. Some of you have people in your cell phone that you need to delete out of your phone. I can tell where you're going in your life by let me look at the minutes you use on your phone and who you talk to. Because sometimes you can have a 50 by 60 dream, but associate with people that have 8 by 10 thinking. And if you're going to tap into the wealth of God, get out of the boat, walk on water, and make it happen. Because you are the generation that God is depending on. Listen, God is not going to do anything else unless he do it through you. You are the agent of God. So where's the next apple that's to come along? It's in you. Why do I say that? Steve Jobs, at 25 years of age, 1979, walks into the Xerox research facility in Palo Alto, California, and sees how Xerox has taken this technology called integrated graphics and how they're using it. And he goes back to Apple and he says, I understand how we can put a computer on every desk. What's the point? Xerox only saw copiers. Steve Jobs saw a computer on every desk because he paid attention. Many have said Steve Jobs is probably the greatest inventor that has ever lived in our time. That's awesome. That's great. But I never heard Steve Jobs name the name of Christ or Jesus as his personal Savior. So that says to me, if I go to church and I have Jesus in my life and I've accepted the Holy Spirit, that means Silicon Valley is in me. Why did Bill Gates drop out of school? He dropped out of school because he sensed in his intuition that school was too slow. Now, I'm not saying drop out of school. Get all the education you can. But the education you get is you will know something to a degree. Because education only comes to enhance the intuition that's in your gut. Education only comes to enhance the talent and the gift. Why is that so important? Because there's a lot of educated folks on the streets. But when you tap, everybody take your right hand, and I need to say tap. When you tap into the God it factor in you, baby, it's on. It is on like popcorn. Because can I just go there right now? When it's on like popcorn, here's what's happened. When I was broke, busted, and disgusted, and I realized that there was more in me, I realized I needed to create a new commercial. So here's the commercial that I created for myself. I am stepping into greatness. I am a unique new kind of person the world has never before seen and will never see the likes of again. I was born to do great things. I have always been special. When I came into this world, there was a mark of greatness stamped upon my life. The kiss of God is upon my life. I was born to be a blessing to millions of people around the world. I was born to succeed as a husband, father, speaker, author, business leader, investor, life coach. I am energetic. I'm alive and happy. My spirit is contagious. I'm authentic. I'm in touch with my feelings. I'm anointed. I'm intelligent. I'm a creative genius. I'm in demand. I'm a child of God. I'm a leader. I am attractive. Sometimes you have to tell yourself you are attractive. Baby, you look good. Godiva, chocolate, and all. You look good. I am financially independent. I'm chairman of the board. I'm a man of great faith. I'm wealthy internally and externally. I'm a hard worker. I'm a finisher. So many people start, but they don't finish. And as gifted as I am, I should know that all of heaven is waiting to help me make every dream a reality. Everything is possible if I believe. I was born to taste the grapes, so I reach for the wine of life as I embrace the moment. When you start talking about yourself like that, you don't chase money. Money chases you. And you pull it towards you. And you enter into flow. Because if I'm working hard, okay, I got to get my hours. Seriously? Really? What's the system? And when I understand the system, I shift from working a job to ownership. God in this season wants you to have ownership. Some of you are being released in the spirit right now. Some of you, when you go to your job tomorrow, you're not going to show up. You're going to say, how do I come in and own the place? Some of you are underpaid and you've just been holding on to that job and you know you have more ability. They're not paying you what you're worth. Baby, if they don't love you, you need to do like Kenny Rogers said. You need to hold, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money while you're sitting at the table. There'll be plenty of time for counting when the deal is done. Y'all don't know a brother knew a little country, all right? But here's the point. Here's the point. The Holy Spirit will give you a restlessness that you are built for more. And you're like, you know what? I ain't got to take this. God has more in me. Ask for what you want. Because what you want wants you. What you want wants you. And the moment you release it into the universe through the power of the spoken word, God and his angels takes your word. And all of a sudden you experience the power of serendipity. You begin to walk and bump into things, all because you begin to vibrate from your spirit a sound that says, I have the intuition for wealth. I am wealthy, and I become attractive. And your spirit becomes a magnet.